Mr. Felix?
Here.
Mr. Winter?
Here.
Commissioner Ron Chanin is absent. Commissioner Bell?
Here.
Commissioner Galvin?
Here.
We have a quorum.
So first off is approval of the agenda. I note, Ted, there's an item you wanted to add. Where did you want to put that into the agenda?
Chairman Galvin, right after resolution A under new business, GGen-12, we could add it right there.
Add it as B?
As B.
Okay. We'll add it as B. Okay, so let's do roll call of ADA, ADA, Department of Law, staff in the room.
Ted Leonard, ADA.
Chris Anderson, ADA.
Sarah Fisher-Goad, ADA.
Jim Hemsath, ADA.
Valerie Walker, ADA.
Brian Bjorkquist, Department of Law.
Sherry Severson, ADA.
Carmen Jones, ADA.
Mike Harper, ADA.
Tim Bradner, Journal of Commerce.
We got Tim Bradner from the Journal of Commerce at the end there.
He's not staff.
I know.
I tried to kick this.
Not yet.
ADA Department of Law staff online.
Yes, sir. We are done.
Hearing none. Now we'll go to members of the public that may be in Anchorage.
Tim Bradner, Journal of Commerce. I got that right.
That's all.
Thanks, Tim. And the other member of the public left?
Yes, she did.
Okay. Kate heard what she needed to hear. Are there any members of the public, Tim, that want to address the board at this time?
No, sir.
Okay. We'll close the public comment period and move on to through old business, which we have none, into new business, starting with resolution G10-12. And so this is the reciprocal part of the same transaction that we just had on the other agenda. Are there any further questions on this transaction from the ADA side? Board members? Hearing none. So Brian, how does this work? Do we have to give it lip service on this side just to have it in the record that we talked about it?
Mr. Chairman, you certainly need to entertain a motion to approve the resolution, but there's no obligation to discuss it further. Because the board members obviously are well informed, having read the resolution in the memo, certainly would be prepared to vote on the resolution.
Thank you for supplementing the record such a way.
And I would move passage of resolution number G10-12.
Second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, can we have a roll call vote?
Mr. Felix?
Yes.
Mr. Winter?
Yes.
Commissioner Bell?
Yes.
Commissioner Galvin?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Okay. So now we move on to the second item, 7B, and this is now resolution G10-13, emergency regulations coming back before us for a third time. What's the story here?
Okay, the story here, Chair, is that these are actually regulations dealing with another bill that was passed by the governor in June. And it deals with Senate Bill 300, which changes the way that ADA will effectively set their rates from now on. And what we've been going through, we've been working on the regulations, but as we found out that as of September 9th, when this bill becomes effective, we need to be able to, in regulation, pick the index that we are now going to use as our, how would you say it, not benchmark. Our benchmark in going forward and setting our regulations. So this resolution will set new regulations, temporary regulations in our mind, that would use the Federal Home Loan Bank of Seattle's advanced index as our benchmark in setting our interest rates, and it would also set a floor on what we would have for variable rates of 290 basis points, and also give us the parameter of implementing the floor that the legislation sets of using our five-year annualized return, which would be based on looking at our investment report of March, and that's the most current one we have currently. We just got our September one, but we believe that based on the fact that we need some time to look and also to keep rates steady, that using the March report would be the best report in setting our floor for the five-year annualized rate.
For fixed rate.
Mr. Chairman, just one more clarification. This applies when ADA is using its own assets to finance a loan participation. If ADA were to use bond proceeds to finance a loan participation, the current scheme continues that the bond rate is the rate that would be used for the loan participation.
Okay. Can either one of you discuss how we're going to move from emergency temporary regs into complete final long-term regs?
To the chair, yes, I can. We are currently right now working on permanent regulations that would give us the complete path that we would use in setting rates, and that would include reviews by the loan committee of what index we would use on a, say, a quarterly basis. So in the permanent regs, there's going to be many more steps in how you would review what index you're using, and also having the flexibility now of setting floors for the variable rate loans. So we are projecting that we will have those regulations completed by the end of September, and that we will bring the permanent regulations forward and for the October meeting. And of course, for implementing the legislation right now, we are only concentrating on the interest rates. Also in Senate Bill 300 was the ability under regulations to set up a new program for a interest rebate based on meeting certain economic requirements. For example, we could give a 1% reduction in the interest rate we charge for, say, creating 20 jobs, creating 50 jobs, whatever benchmarks we set. And under that legislation, there is a, and Chris, I can't remember off the top of my head, a percentage of the portfolio that we can use. Do you remember that, Brian?
It wasn't large. It was,
it
like,
was like 15%
yeah, 10 or 15%.
Of our portfolio could be used mm-hmm. with this program.
Right.
So,
okay.
By the end of September, before our next October 20th meeting, Chair, we will have complete regulations for Senate Bill 300. We have been
okay,
working.
So these are.
Oh, excuse me, Chair.
So go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, in essence, this regulation is just to be able to have the ability to choose the index for the period of right now through October 20th.
Through the Mr. Chairman, effective September 9th, when the SB 300 becomes effective, or 350.
When you come back to us October, are those going to be regs that have already gone through the comment period, or are they going to be the regs that you're going to then after our approval and after public comment?
No, they will. We will go through the full public comment period and process. So that
okay,
we will have comments on those.
You're sending them out within a week or two?
No, Well, we're lucky, Chair, that we actually have a 15-day notice for our hearing, so we'll be using probably the first 3 weeks of September to finish our part of it and then send out notice for public hearing.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, ADA is not under the Administrative Procedures Act, and so all of those time frames don't apply. Notice has to be sent out at least 15 days before the board meeting at which the regulations are adopted.
Oh, okay. That's convenient. Okay. And, well, let others ask, I have a couple questions. Do other board members have any questions?
Yes, I do. So make sure I understand that the variable rate loan is indexed to 290 basis points above the benchmark. Is that here? I'm not understanding.
Through the chair to Mike. No, actually, there is a variable index. What the 290 basis points is the floor. Currently, the index, with the way rates are going, is actually lower than that amount. So we have set a floor of 290 basis points plus our cost of operations. So the floor would be approximately for a 5-year variable loan, 3.32%.
Okay.
And I believe on if you use the index, it would be like 2.8. So actually, we've set the floor higher just based on our portfolio management and where we want to be. And that was the appreciation staff has of the board and going forth with this new statute that was passed. It gives us more flexibility to actually look at the floors, look at the economy, and set our rates instead of using that black box, as we call it, and going out to the bond market.
Right.
And if there wasn't a bond market like we saw a year ago,
mm-hmm.
the rates just fluctuated. This gives us much more control in setting stable rates
and competitive rates.
Mm-hmm. Competitive rates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how did you come up with the 290 basis points floor?
The 290 basis point floor for variable rates, Chairman, was in conjunction in discussing this with our financial analyst from Western Financial Group, and also looking at comparison of what the we still had Goldman Sachs report that we just got saying if we did go out to the market on a variable rate, it was approximately on a 5-year 3.36, and this floor brings us within that range. I think the
3.32.
If you use the floor, it would be 3.32.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, it was also in discussion with Chris on the portfolio and where she thought we needed to be competitive and also protect Ada's financial interest.
Right.
Okay. And then 65% of the Federal Home Loan Bank. Where did the 65% number come from?
Again, that was using our, this would be for tax exempt, setting tax exempt rates. And this
okay.
was in conjunction again with Western Financial Group and Pat Clancy, our bond financial analyst, that said that based on historical trends that tax exempt rates have been running 65% of taxable rates.
In drafting, I was not privy to those conversations, and so that 65% is in both the taxable and the tax exempt. If the intent was to only have that for tax exempt, then there needs to be an
adjustment.
Yes.
I didn't see that listening to the other one. I apologize for it.
Section D is the tax
exempt.
The tax exempt, and Section E is the taxable.
Yes. So.
And the 65%.
We would just strike out the 55% of the rate again after them, Brian?
For the, we want to have the 65% on the
tax exempt.
The tax free on the tax exempt. Okay. So on page 2 of 2, under subsection B, it would be if the authority uses the authority assets to fund the participants, it would be strike 65% of the rate.
Just 65% of.
Yeah, right.
The rate identified on the would be.
Rate identified. Okay. If the authority uses. Or would it be?
It'd be the rate identified on the Federal Home Loan Bank of Seattle's fixed rate advance index.
Really?
If the authority uses true and straight means, I think it would be, we'd strike all the way through identified on, right? Oh, no, you're right.
No, no, 65% of.
Identified on.
Mm-hmm.
True interest cost rate means the rate identified on the daily home loan bank. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
And I apologize for it on that. I did not see that.
Yes.
Was
that it comes after, if it comes after the if statement. So. Okay, so we're following the comma, strike 65% of, and everything else stays the same.
Yes, Chair.
Comma after.
The authority needs to assets fund participation for the rate identified in the daily federal home bank loan sales, which most closely.
Yeah. So Susan's suggesting that when we strike that, that the comma after index on the third line may seem a little. So the true interest rate means.
The rate identified.
If the rate. Yeah, because which most closely matches the term is modifying the rate identified.
Right.
So it probably shouldn't have a comma there.
Okay.
Brian, do you agree?
I would agree, and Mr. Chairman, I would agree on both 250 and 350. 250.
Okay, so into on page 1 of 2, on D1B, third line down, following the word index, strike the comma. Good wordsmith in here. Commissioner Bell has her first fingerprint on Ada Work.
And an important finger.
Okay, so yeah, okay, that clears that up. Okay, so now we've got taxables are at the rate, at the Federal Home Loan Bank rate. Tax exempts are at 65% of that rate.
Right. And let the board know, in the regulations dealing with tax exempt, since they're a really specialized rate, and I wish Valerie when I stepped out, there is a limit of $1 million that we'll fund internally, and anything all after $1 million, we will usually, and I believe the reg state, we will go out to the market to fund it.
That's correct. The current regulations, my memory is that they require going out to bond, to issue bonds for more than $1 million.
Right.
Okay.
I think that that's there, Chair, to, again, you know, for example, right now we're earning about 5.37% on our funds, and so when we're funding tax-exempt loans that are, could be potentially quite lower than that, we would go out and obtain the funds instead of using our internal funds.
Right, which then would kick us into subsection A.
Right.
E1A.
Exactly.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, can I just read in a couple of more corrections to the regulations? And these are corrections to parts that are going to be deleted from subsection 350E on page 2 of 2. At the end of subparagraph B, it should read, I'm just going to read what it should read, and I'll highlight where the changes are, and expressed as an annual rate of interest that would apply to the authorities, it should be taxable rather than tax-exempt bonds, if the authority were issuing taxable instead of tax-exempt. So the two places where there's tax-exempt, it should be changed to taxable.
Where are you again?
On page 2, under subparagraph B, at the very bottom with the capitalized letters, the part that is, that's language to be deleted.
Deleted, yes.
The section?
Yes.
Okay.
So two places there's tax-exempt, it should be taxable.
Apply to authorities, just striking tax exempt throughout?
And replacing it with taxable.
Taxable.
For just that one
for
section.
For just section B. Yeah.
That's
yes.
Dealing with
got
taxable loans.
Right. All right. Anything else?
I hope not, Chair.
Like a
that's
motion?
What happens when you do emergency regulations.
Would you like a motion?
Yeah, I'm just looking through this thing. So the premise of the emergency is that as of September 9, when the legislation goes into effect, is it that we have the authority to look to a proxy to set our rates, or is it that we drop into some methodology that is expected to set our rates, and absent these regulations, we would have nothing. What I'm wondering is, are we saying that it's an emergency because we really want to have this opportunity, or are we saying it's an emergency because if we don't do this, it will create an undefined gap in our authority?
Mr. Chairman, it's a latter. If these regulations are not adopted, then the statutory authority for having an interest rate on loan participations requires the authority to adopt those rates by regulation. With the statute changing, the old regulations would no longer, you could no longer use them because those are based on the interest rate that ADA would get if it issued bonds. That no longer has a statutory basis, so they can't be used. ADA would be left without any basis for establishing interest rates for loan participations that it funds with its own assets.
So in essence, Chair, this emergency regulation sets the index for the temporary period as the Federal Home Loan Bank of Seattle's advanced rate, which
right.
Statute says that we need a index to work
hire ourselves to.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Any other questions for board members?
I have one, Mr. Chairman. Ted that has there been any indication how much, if any, more business this would be bringing in for Ada?
The rates themselves and the fact that they've been dramatically going down under either system of looking at going out to the market or with the new index, that we are getting many more businesses looking, Chris, at refis right now, of course, but we are seeing a pickup in loan participations, which we projected we would based on the fact of how dramatically the interest rates have gone down from the prior year. We've gone back down from 9% at the highest point to, right now, Chris, it was 5.56 on the last rates we set Monday.
Right.
So, Chris, you had like 4 or 5 new ones come in the door, you were telling me?
Ted and through the chair, there has been increased activity, but you know, the market is still doesn't have a great deal of confidence level in it. I think that lenders in general are hungry for business, and I definitely think that Ada is in the picture of doing term transactions, commercial real estate loans. As an example, I was over at First National yesterday, and they have a backup of deals that they're going to be getting to us. But I think that we should also indicate that when we do go to this new rate, at least currently, when you do add our, I'll call it overhead, to this, to our floor, that interest rate is actually going to be slightly above what our current rates are that we've been publishing on all of our fixed rates. It's not substantial. I don't think that it will negatively impact business, but right now all of those rates are below what our floor will currently be. I think that should at least be mentioned.
Right. Our floor, Chair, right now the rate we set this week based on looking at taxable bonding for a 25-year is approximately 5.56, and based on the floor that's set in statute, on a fixed rate, it would be 5.81%. But again, as we look at those transactions, and Chris and I and others have been talking, our cost of funds is in that range. I mean, right now we are getting approximately 5.37% over a 5-year period on our earnings. So
right.
It truly is the 5.81 truly reflects our opportunity cost in funding.
And as an additional comment, lenders are also setting floors on their participating
right.
interest, and their floors are above ours. So just an additional comment.
So just explain what is the index rate, Federal Home Loan Bank of Seattle rate this week?
This week, you did, Chris, you have that on?
Yeah, I do.
For a 25-year.
Right. For a 25-year, Federal Home Loan Bank interest rate is 5.06 this week. I shouldn't say this week.
Okay.
They set it daily. But
yeah, they set it daily.
Well, we're going to.
And that's with our operational
no,
spread.
No, that's without.
So with our operational spread?
5.48.
5.48.
Okay, and so if we're doing a tax exempt, it would be 65% of that rate, so it would be around 3.25.
Well, and Commissioner, two factors that would come in is that right now our floor would be set based on our annualized rate of return, so. In essence, what the floor will force us to do, as do mainly our regulations with the $1 million thing, is for tax-exempt loans, if we have any, we don't have very many of those, we would have to go out to the market to fund it.
Are you saying that because these regs also say that for a fixed rate loan, the rate during any fiscal year may not be lower than the 5-year return on the investment funds of the authority?
Yes.
That sets a floor at that 5.4 something?
5.81 including our operation costs, but the actual floor is 5.39%. Mm-hmm. Not including our operational cost spread.
Our spread right now is 0.42%.
So how are we gaining much on this?
Well, I think in actuality, gaining is, I think when we were looking at this statute, is that where we gain is that the floor does protect us at the bottom side. When we were looking initially at this statute, we were looking at what happens when rates inherently go up to a market that's been fairly unstable. But also, it does protect us financially on the bottom side of the curve when rates are, I would say, being affected by Fed policy, that they go lower than what our internal rate of return is on our funds. And again, one of the things that we have to realize, Chair, is that, you know, for example, if our opportunity cost is 5.37, 5.5 on our internal rate of return and the market is less than that, it might be time for us to look at loading a bond to fund these loans. It gives us more flexibility in how we manage our portfolio and also how we fund it, whether we fund it internally or we actually go out and look at the market to fund.
Why would we look at the relationship between what our investment returns are on our funds and use that as a benchmark for the rate that we would lend at?
Well, again, it is our cost of the loans. It's either we have monies in investments or we have monies in loans. So when we're looking at our example,
we're not an investment house. I mean, we're not a permanent fund. We're not here to make money on this money. We're here to generate work off this money.
Right. But we can do that through issuing bonds, too. We do have the dividend that we have to look at. I mean, it's a combination of all those factors, Chair.
Yeah.
And when we're looking at that, we believe that this was the most appropriate way to ensure the legislature that we needed the flexibility to set rates, but at the same time, when we were working with them, that we weren't going to dramatically affect the dividend at the same time. So the floor was
let me ask you this.
A safety net.
Just so I understand, is the language that I just read that for a fixed rate loan, the rate during any fiscal year may not be lower than the 5-year return on the investment funds of the authority. Is that responsive to statutory language in this bill, or is that something we added ourselves to these regs?
No, that is responsive to statutory language.
Do you agree with that, Brian?
Yes, I do. For fixed rate loans, Mr. Chairman, it's included in the statute.
Okay. All right, so don't need to fight that battle. Okay, any other questions? Okay, hearing none. Is there a motion with regard to Resolution G-1013? And Brian, since we adjusted the rates themselves, would this be Resolution G-1013 as amended, or what?
Well, Resolution G-1013 should be sufficient, but when we deal with the attached emergency regulation, it will be the attached as amended. I don't think we, to state it differently, I don't think you need to change the resolution. Everybody will understand that what we're dealing with is the draft regulation as amended. And I can go through the amendments just so everybody's on the exact same page. On page 1, under B, the third line after index, there will be a deletion of the comma. On page 2, under B, at the end of the first sentence, there will be deleting, and going on to the next sentence, 65% of. And then in the third line.
Brian, hold on. Just to make it clear, it's not at the end of the first sentence. You're saying at the end of the first line.
I'm sorry, yes. End of the first line after the loan comma, 65% of will be deleted. On the third line, again, after index, the comma will be deleted. And then going from the bottom of with the capitalized, in two places where it's tax exempt, it will be changed to taxable.
Okay, got that. So, is there a motion with regards to resolution G10-13?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt resolution G10-13 with the attached regulation as amended.
Second. Okay, any further discussion? Hearing none, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Mr. Felix?
Yes.
Mr. Winther?
Yes.
Commissioner Montchaven is absent. Commissioner Bell?
Yes.
Commissioner Dowling?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Okay. So, director comments. Ted?
Quickly, Chair, I would like to let everyone know that the recovery zone deadline for applications has come and gone on August 31st, and we've gotten in applications of a total of $162 million for the $135 million of allocation we have. So we are getting ready to go through the process of awarding allocations. It was a really good mix of small businesses and one large project. Total jobs that would be created based on the estimates on the applications would be over 248 new jobs. Plus, again, as I said before, we're looking in the range of 100 to 200 of savings and interest on small businesses. So this program looks like it's going to be the success that we thought it was going to be, and we'll have more information for the board on the September 22nd meeting.
Okay, and Ted, I'm not sure if you're in the room. Are there any action items for September 22nd, or can we do that one as a work session?
Yes, Chair, that's the when I heard you talk to Mike, I cringed a little because we are looking at a possibility of having two due diligence agreements for the board to look at on projects. We're not sure yet, but we are looking at that, and I'd like to discuss those with you to see whether or not we would have to set those. But a couple, one of them at least, is very time sensitive in the process.
Okay.
And Valerie's saying something. Okay, and after what you just said on emergency regulations, we are trying that on the conduit bond applications and regulations, they are very much tied to these recovery zone allocations that we are doing, and we are looking at a simplified process for these conduit bond applications that you will be looking at over August or September and October. So we may have one more regulation change that we would like on an emergency basis to pass to make it easier for the board in October and November as they do these reimbursement resolutions and approve these conduit applications that are tied to to the recovery zone allegations. Did that make any sense, Chair?
It does. And I know that we're under the gun on a number of these changes. It's somewhat disconcerting for me that the last three rate packages that we passed through we're doing on an emergency basis when we already have an exception to the Administrative Procedures Act. I just would hope that we can somehow get ahead of the curve and not have to do it through that mechanism.
And, Chair, this is the first time that in a long time that ADA has had to do these, and most of these emergency regulations, except for the one dealing with SB 300, are dealing with this recovery zone bonds, and that's been a highly fluid set of processes, and I can tell you, rest assured, that after we get through these recovery zone process, that we won't have emergency regulations coming to the board.
Okay, I'm going to hold you to that.
You can, sir.
Okay. Any further comments? So, the next meeting, sounds like there's a good chance that it will have at least some action items, so expect that we'll have some portion that will be an actual board meeting. We'll have some portion that may be work session, so Ted and I will work it out between now and then. Any board comments? Hearing none. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Any objection to adjournment? Hearing none, we are adjourned.
Everybody have a nice weekend.
Yeah, you too, John. Join Seattle on Labor Day, I guess.